Commander Fox's Ultimate Bucket List. Written by Black Cat. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Star Wars. Relationships, Fox, Mace Windu. Padme Amidala, Thorn, Stone. Depa Bilaba, Gray. Agen Kolar, Cody. Also tagged for Alternate Universe, Time Travel. Time Travel, Fix It. Humor, Crack. Seduction. Murder Attempts. OTP, Anakin, Consequences. Romance, Friendship, and Let Fox Be a Little Unhinged, 2K Forever. Recorded for Lattice Frames for ITPE 2022. Chapter 1. The Chancellor is dead, and Fox has a headache. "You're a pain in my shebs," he tells the bisected body lying on the floor, face still caught in a rictus of surprise. That's a little satisfying, even through the ache pounding at his skull. But Fox isn't about to admit any sort of good feeling when Palpatine's the source. Even if him being murdered with his own lightsaber is exactly what Fox should have been dreaming about, all those years he saluted and clicked his heels and said, "Yes, sir, Supreme Chancellor, sir," no matter what idiotic thing Palpatine wanted him to do. Now he's very firmly not going to be doing any more saluting, Fox thinks. And that gets a flicker of vindictive pleasure, at least. He turns the lightsaber over in his fingers for a moment, eyes the twin hilt still sitting on the desk, and snorts. The one in his hand gets tossed over to land near Palpatine's body, close enough that it looks vaguely like he could have dropped it, and the other gets tucked inside of one of Fox's belt pouches, because he's not an idiot. A plasma sword is criffing useful. It's probably about time Fox kicks everything off. He checks the time, knows he reasonably should get moving. But he's got his feet up on Palpatine's desk. He's slumped back in Palpatine's fancy and obscenely comfortable chair. And he really, really doesn't want to move. There's legislation open on the holo display. Orders Palpatine was halfway through when Fox ambushed him. And Fox eyes them, then the body, and reaches out. If he's going to do this, he may as well have some fun with it. All in all, it's nearly 3 hours after Fox bagged himself a Sith Lord that he picks his helmet up off the desk, wipes everything down, and wipes the security feed for the last 2 weeks. Then, just because he can, he steals the rest of the sweets Palpatine has hidden in the bottom of his desk, drops the recordings of all the comms Palpatine has made as Lord Sidious since Fox got back into its place, and saunters out through the secret passage that's technically only for urgent evacuations of the Chancellor. It's a neatly done job, if he does say so himself. Fox doesn't whistle as he makes his way back up into the Senate building, but only because that would definitely give him away. There's a lightness to his steps that he can't hide, though, and even his headache seems more manageable than most. It could be the fact that there's a Sith Lord-shaped hole that just opened up in his life, and a war that will probably start winding down now that the man playing both sides of it is dead. Or, potentially, it's the fact that the next thing on Fox's list is personal revenge. And that's always fun. Sliding a hand around the back of his neck, Fox rubs at it with a faint sigh, rolling his shoulders a little. There's a bit of stiffness, and he can't tell if it's psychosomatic or an actual leftover of Vader snapping his neck like a twig. The Sephi lady who drop-kicked him back through the time stream had fixed the broken neck and crushed throat, but Fox has no idea how Jedi healing works. He doesn't particularly care, either. A stiff neck and a headache seems like a small price to pay for finally getting to murder the Chancellor. Well, the Chancellor and the Sith Lord. But honestly, Fox has a lot more daydreams about stabbing Chancellor Palpatine than he ever did Darth Sidious. A personality flaw, maybe, but Fox has never pretended that he's not a vindictive bastard. Anakin's going to learn that very soon, and Fox can't wait. Checking the time, Fox smiles to himself, because this is a great day that nothing can make worse. Not his headache, and certainly not the image of Palpatine's murderous little apprentice with a fondness for snapping necks, arriving for his weekly lunch with the Chancellor and finding out he's a Sith. And it's all going to be Theer's problem, because Fox is technically on bed rest for the next week, given how he may have freaked out the medics with an apparent breakdown when he'd woken up 5 years back in time. That part wasn't planned, but it still went perfectly. Fox is taking it as a sign where the rest of his plans are concerned. Ahead of him, a familiar laugh carries down the hall, and something inside Fox's chest that's probably just indigestion tightens. Thorn, he thinks, and picks up his pace a little, even though he doesn't strictly need to. There's not going to be any mission, Scipio. No brave last stand to let Senator Amidala get away safely. Thorn's not going to die, because the war is going to start winding down now that the Sith is dead, and that's good. Thorn's a pain in the shebs, too, if in an entirely different way than Palpatine. But him surviving is a good thing. Not that Fox will ever tell him that. And maybe Fox wants to see him, because he's been on an escort mission the last week or so, and, well, it's been years since Fox saw him in Fox's timeline. That's all. There are steps coming down the stairs ahead of Fox, booted feet and clones joking, Thorn's familiar laugh carrying again. Fox takes a breath, slows deliberately, and as the corner approaches, he studiously pulls up his comm and the guard's schedule and makes the turn, collides, not with hard plastoid, but with soft robes, warm tan and white and deep brown. There's a sound of surprise, a stumble, and Fox grabs automatically, takes two sharp steps to the side and catches. The weight of a body almost catches him off guard, but he sets his feet, finds his balance, and looks down. Mace Windu looks back at him, the clearest expression of surprise Fox has ever seen from him written across his face. He stares up at Fox, and Fox stares back, only belatedly realizing that he has Mace dipped almost to the floor, his hands curled around Fox's pauldrons. Their faces close enough that if Fox wasn't wearing his helmet, he would just have to tip his head slightly to catch Mace's mouth with his own. It's not a new thought, precisely. Every Vod ever has had thoughts about Mace Windu and kissing him, and maybe about those long-fingered hands clutching plastoid and something else entirely. Fox definitely isn't the exception here, but, well, Last time around, he was too busy running errands for the Sith Lord to actually do anything about those very familiar thoughts. It's lucky, then, that Fox now has no pressing matters to attend to, a very open schedule, and a bucket list that just got one item longer. "General," he says, and smirks just a little. "Nice to see you again." Mace stares at him for one more second, then snorts. One eyebrow rises, precise, but he doesn't try to climb back to his feet, doesn't even bother to move. "Commander Fox," he returns, ever so faintly amused. It feels far more like a victory than it should. "Forgive me, I believe my headache has made me less observant than normal." "It's all right, sir. No harm done." Fox ignores the stunned silence coming from the rest of the squad, pulling Mace upright again. He finds his feet gracefully, then carefully lets go of Fox's shoulders, and Fox takes the opportunity to rest a hand on the small of his back, like he's holding him upright. Mace doesn't need it, and from the glance he slants at Fox, they both know what's happening here. But Fox keeps his hand right where it is. It's mildly intriguing that Mace doesn't pull away, and Fox is feeling bold enough to take a step closer. "If you have a headache, sir," he says, "the guard medics are just a level down, or I have a quiet office where you can take a minute." Behind Fox, there's a choking sound, like Thorn just swallowed his tongue, but Fox doesn't bother to look over. Mace considers him for a moment, one brow slightly raised, but Fox can see the amusement lingering in his expression.
"That's a very generous offer, Commander. It was a long flight with far too many politicians."
There's a reason Fox has always liked Mace, even if the Jedi are usually a pain. He opens his mouth to invite Mace up.
"Commander," Thorn says, faintly strangled. "You were supposed to be on bed rest."
Mace pauses, gaze sliding from Fox to Thorn and back again, and Fox snorts.
"Tell the medics, then, if you're a coward,"
he tells his commander, and doesn't wait around to listen to Thorn's splutter. With the hand on Mace's back, he steers him forward, towards his personal office, and right through Thorn's squad, ignoring how they scatter like he's somehow unhinged. They're all cowards, and Fox is going to put them through their paces as soon as he doesn't have more interesting things to do. Not that Mace is an interesting thing to do. Fox has more class than to even think that. He's the champion of the Order, the man who put Jango Fett right where he belonged, and a longtime ally in making Anakin Skywalker's life harder. And just for that, Fox would go out of his way to maybe flirt a little. Adding in the fact that Mace is the one person who can probably beat Dooku, which is Fox's next step, and he's every story of wise, handsome, gentle Jedi, all wrapped up in very fetching robes, offering him some tea or calf is only logical.
"I suspect," Mace says gravely,
even as Fox keeps pace with him down the hall,
"that you may be encouraging several rumors about a potential magic spell put on you, Commander, or a body double."
Fox rolls his eyes. "I've got a couple million body doubles," he says, and keys the guard office open.
Inside, Thier jerks, almost tipping his chair over as he tries to yank his feet off the desk and bolt upright at the same time. But Fox ignores him as well, nudging Mace towards his private office. The door closes firmly behind them, and Fox locks it. Then blacks out the lone window that looks into the main office area, preempting any nosy bastards attempting to spy. Stone pretends to be above such things, but really, he's the biggest gossip Fox has ever met.
"You like tea?" he asks, stepping away from Mace and switching on the pot he keeps on one of his shelves. "Or I've got calf, but it's what they serve in the mess and tastes like licking a hyperdrive." Mace snorts quietly, sinking down in the chair next to Fox's desk.
If it's what they serve on the cruisers, I believe I'll stick with tea, he says. Thank you, Commander.
Probably will extend your life by at least a few years, Fox says, and picks the tea that Senator Amidala bribed him with last time he caught her and Skywalker in a compromising position. She didn't call it a bribe, of course, but Fox has been up to his neck in scummy politicians since he was decanted, and Amidala might be one of the better ones in all areas except her taste in men, but he knows a bribe when he sees it. Now that he thinks of it, Fox should do something about that, too. Amidala is too good for Skywalker. Once Fox sets things in motion to deal with Skywalker, Amidala is going to need someone to console her. And if he remembers correctly, Thorn and Stone are still carrying a torch for her. Maybe Fox can steer her in their direction, set a few things up, and get her involved with people who aren't diametrically opposed to all of her moral and political values. It's a good plan. Fox adds it to his list as he sets two cups out and pours the water, then turns. Mace is curled forward in his chair, elbows braced on his thighs, palms pressed against his temples. He looks like he's in pain, and Fox pauses, feeling a flicker of sympathy twist in his chest. Mace? He asks, setting the cups down on the desk. Mace raises a hand in a vague gesture of reassurance, though he doesn't lift his head.
A side effect of being connected to the Force, he says, faintly muffled. Something in the galaxy is shifting, though I don't know what.
Fox stops, hand halfway to Mace's shoulder. He looks at Mace for a long, long second, then reaches up and pulls his helmet off, setting it on the desk and leaning against the edge of it, close enough that Mace is almost leaning against him in turn. The line of his throat is something elegant, and Fox wants to curl a hand over his nape, pull him in. He doesn't, but it's a show of self-control that he personally feels deserves a double helping of praise. The war, maybe? He asks. And Mace makes a sound of agreement, lifting his head.
I presume, he says, frowning faintly. Forgive me, Commander. I may not be the best company today.
You're always good company, Fox says. And when Mace glances up at him, he raises a brow.
A hell of a lot better than some. I had to chase Skywalker out of a meeting room last time he was here. He was trying to set it up for a romantic atmosphere.
Mace closes his eyes, looking pained for a reason that probably doesn't have anything to do with his headache.
My apologies, Commander. I'll have Obi-Wan speak to him about such behavior.
Fox doesn't particularly care, because if he gets his way, Skywalker's going to have a lot more to worry about than Kenobi's lectures. Also, because Mace is watching him, something on his face that Fox can't quite read, and his eyes are a soft brown that Fox could get lost in. Warm, despite his usual stern expression.
Commander, Mace says after a moment, you must be dealing with more stress than usual. You're going gray even faster than Commander Nail.
Fox just murdered the greatest source of his stress, and the second greatest source is next. He snorts, leaning in a little, and braces himself with a hand on the desk, almost close enough to touch.
I didn't realize you were paying attention, he says,
and the faintest crinkle around Mace's eyes says he's laughing slightly.
Usually the complaint my former Padawan defaults to is that I pay too much attention. Mace says gravely,
and Fox snorts. Mace hasn't paid enough attention to notice that there was a Sith Lord in the Chancellor's office, but Fox will let that one slide, because it gave him the opportunity to take out years of frustration in one fell swoop. And besides, it landed Mace in his office looking up at him with humor in the set of his expression.
Yeah? He asks low and leans in just a little more. He's had a hell of a lot of fantasies that start like this, and finally getting to play them out is rapidly climbing to the top of his to-do list.
Then I assume you've been paying enough attention to realize that I'm about to...
His headache spikes just as Mace's eyes slam closed, and he hisses sharply. At the same moment, an alarm blares, piercing and vicious. And out in the main office, there's a shout, running feet, the rattle of armor and weapons grabbed in a hurry, and... Just as Mace shoves to his feet, spinning towards the door, it flies open, Fox's lock cracking. Annoyance flares and only surges higher at the sight of the figure who appears in the doorway, pale-faced and frantic.
Master Windu! Anakin says, voice cracking. Someone murdered the Chancellor!
Mace stares, and Fox grabs his helmet and drags it on, just so no one will see his smirk. He checks the first item off his mental bucket list, tells himself he'll make things up to Mace as soon as he gets the chance, and follows the two Jedi out of the office and into the hall, where he very deliberately turns towards the barracks instead of the Chancellor's office, meandering without hurry. He's supposed to be on bed rest, after all, and Theer likely has everything well in hand. It's a beautiful day, and besides, Fox has a headache and a list to keep working through. Palpatine's just a former complication, and Fox has better things to do. Not Mace, technically. But Fox is adding seduce a Jedi Master to the very top of his list, and that probably counts in some way. Fox rolls his shoulders, and it feels like the stiffness in his neck is finally fading, like the headache is receding as he makes his way down the bright, open halls and out into open air.